And just to build on that, Mark, this was the way in which they came to him. Or this was how they were when they collected round him. But it says he became a captain over them. So I don't know if there's anyone here who've been like a captain or an army captain or something, you know, but it's usually the army. They knock people into shape. But what I really want to say is, applying the lesson, there was a spiritual formation. They took character from David. He was a captain over them. It's not how we come, you know. We come in all our need, you know. You look at the Statue of Liberty, and you look at the condition in which people reach this country on the immigrant ships, and look what has become of them. Well, that's only in natural things, but in spiritual things, what spiritual formation has taken place in people's lives when they've been near the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And this is the lesson that is brought out here. Let's not neglect the fact that he became a captain unto them. There's the recognition of his authority. And as you said, Mark, through that then, we find that there were mighty men amongst them. And it's all through David.
And also comment about the place. It's a cave. So they were trading a palace for a cave. You know how often we're attracted to a place, but they were attracted to a person. A cave is not a pleasant place, but they were not looking at the place, they were looking at the person, and this is what attracted them to be there. If David was in a palace, they would have been there too. But so we shouldn't be discouraged about the physical conditions of where we meet, but be focused on who is present when we're there. And that changes everything. The whole perspective changes. This no longer was a cave to them. This was a fortress. And they had a captain. And they were going to be a mighty army under their captain. So it changes everything.
So why did Jonathan not able to come to David? I think the answer we can get in verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. And we see Jonathan, he was not in that condition. He was satisfied. He had riches, he had money, he had everything. So, but with David, David has nothing. He was a man going through suffering. So Jonathan started to look something by sight, instead by faith.
Of the Laodicean church, it was said that they were rich and they were increased with goods and they had need of nothing. But Christ was outside the door. Christ was outside of the door.
That's why in America we have these, they're called mega churches, where there are 5,000, some have 8,000 people meet. And you know, when people will say to me, well, where do you meet? I say, I meet in Cambridge. How many go there? It seems to be if there are a lot of numbers, God must be in it. But it's the opposite, isn't it? God delights small things, not big things, big congregations. That doesn't mean anything to the Lord. And the Lord delights in small assemblies, the power of the Holy Spirit in those little assemblies is more powerful than a mega church with 8,000 people.
So we're focused on Jonathan for a moment, just to say, look what he missed. He missed that unique fellowship with others of like-minded faith that saw David as their captain. He missed David being that role in his life. So he missed out in fellowship with like-minded believers. He missed out in seeing the Lord as the captain. He missed out in the realization that the cave was more important than the palace. He missed out on all these things, and no doubt the rewards that come with it. So he lost much. He lost much in not identifying himself with David and his rejection.
In verse 20, Abiathar, the escaped priest, when the king massacred or caused the priest to be massacred, and one day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod, in other words, 85 priests, were slain. Satan doesn't want the priestly element. He doesn't want priestly approach to God. But Abiathar escaped and fled after David. So those who went after David had the priestly element amongst them. What remained, what survived of priesthood was found there. That's important. Are we in a place where there is priestly approach to God? And that's what the whole epistle of the Hebrews is about, is the priesthood of Christ culminating in us drawing near, priestly approach to God. Are we in an environment where this is enjoyed? And then in verse 5, these were the things I referred to earlier. In verse 5, the prophet Gad said to David, there's the prophetic element, God's voice for the moment, God speaking. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. And in Timothy, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the last days. And in Corinthians, there's that liberty. Let the prophet speak two or three, or at the most by three, and let the others judge. Are we cultivating an environment where we hear God speaking to us, the prophetic voice, God giving a word to us for the moment when we come together in our assemblies? And then the other thing which has been referred to, of course, is the authority of David, king, and that would translate for us today into the lordship of Christ. And we might even say, in connection with David, the headship of Christ also. Are we giving the Lord that place of authority and direction in our life and in our assemblies? These are important. There are very important features here which it would be good for us to seek to develop.
I see. I'm not connecting this with what Andrew is telling, but I have a different thought in regard to how Jonathan started his connection with David. He had a very good start. But when time went on, we see declensions in his life. Declension in his affection toward David. But now when we come to chapter 22, we see the picture is completely different. There we see one man whose affection grew toward David like anything. And his heart knit together with David. But here he is completely out of sight. He is not with David, whom he appreciated and with whom he was connected deeply. But now we see 400 people. And here in the life of these 400 people, we see they could not live without David. Their heart is burning, and we see their life without David has become like a wilderness. Dry, dissatisfied, and we see their heart longing to be with David. And their affection we see growing like anything, and they could not live without David. So, wherever they were, in whatsoever state they were, they left everything behind and they went to be with David in the cave of Adullam. So, dear brethren, one important thing in our life is whether our affection is growing day by day intensely for Christ. If there is no affection, Christ cannot have place. And Christ always looks for affection in our life, in our heart. So we see that affection in the life of Mary. We see that affection in the life of John, where Christ had place. Christ had no place to lay down his head, but he has place like in the heart of John, heart of Mary. So God is looking such people in every locality in whose affection Lord desires to rest.